deliberately chose this wonderful hymn to open with tonight because the whole world is almost nuts. They're all full of they're full of fear and anxiety and everything else. And I thought, for those of us who believe God, there is a peace in our heart, a peace that nothing can take away. And that's why it's such a fantastic. All the world seems to sing of a Savior and Lord. When peace sweetly came to my heart, same to you. And that's why it's a tremendous thing. Let's sing that second verse. Everybody on the first word of the second verse. Here we go. All the world seemed to sing of the Savior. Father, we thank you for this wonderful privilege of being together again at the Way International headquarters on this beautiful Sunday night to be blessed in the fellowship of your divine love, to be thankful, Father, for all that you've wrought for us in your wonderful Son, Jesus Christ, and for allowing us to live in this day and time and hour and to be a part of the great living reality of your word. And Father, I thank you for blessing every child, every young person, every adult. And may this be a wonderful night for all of our people, not only here, but those who have joined us and those that will be hearing this service this week around the nations of the world. Thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated.
The beginning, something great for you. This could be the beginning of a life all shiny and new. Walking out of the darkness to the marvelous light. This could be the beginning of the best of your life. So you say you have traveled down a long, lonesome highway, looking for love and a happiness that would not go away. But you never found what you've been looking for. Now maybe you are standing in front of that same door. This could be the beginning of something great for you. This could be the beginning of a life more shiny and new. Walking out of the darkness to the marvelous light. This could be the beginning of the best of your life. Now you've been around everything in town, and you keep saying to yourself, joy I've never found. So sit back, give a listen to what we have to sing and say. Won't you let it soak in? This could be your day, and this could be the beginning of something great for you. This could be the beginning of a life all shiny and new. Won't you walk on out of the darkness to the marvelous light? This can be the beginning of the best of your life. All right, Mike. Something great for you. Now this can be the beginning of a life of shining and new. Won't you walk on out of the darkness to the marvelous light? Said this can be the beginning of the best of your life. One more. This can be the beginning. Something great for you, kid. This can be the beginning of a life all shiny and new. Hey, Cliff, walk on out of the darkness, skip to the marvelous light. Hey, Johnny, this can be the beginning of the best of your life. This can be the beginning of the best of your life.
All the knowledge I had brought me no joy at all. For an answer I yearned, and to God's word I turned. In God touched my life, and I answered his call. And now there is Christ in me, I know. And the knowledge of God brings such joy to my heart. God is with me, I know. I can stand, I can grow. God's Spirit within me will never depart. And now there is Christ in me, I know the mystery. Christ, I will stay. I believe what God said. He raised Christ from the dead, and God in his mercy has shown me the way.
got to thinking about our Christian businessmen across the country and how they're really taking a stand in their business and really moving God's word. It's an exciting time. And then this is your card, your calling card, and I think it's absolutely beautiful. It has the Holy Spirit dove in here, and it's called Dove Mobile Wash. And then 2 Corinthians 5:9 on the front, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. Beloved, well-pleasing is the text, I think, literal, that we may be well-pleasing unto him. Well, if we're going to do this as Christian businessmen, we're going to really do a wonderful job of wash. And that's exactly what it says on the inside, to serve you better. Isn't that beautiful? That's our Christian businessmen, and I'm thankful to have one of these. And I just thank God for businessmen that take a stand like this. And that's why I thank you for being here, you and your wife tonight, and along with the rest of the people. But I had never seen this, your card before, so I'm real thankful, real blessed. Put it among the collection. It's wonderful. Father, we thank you for the privilege of allowing us to magnify your name. Thank you for the joy and rejoicing in our hearts as we see the great deliverance of that word of God in our own lives. Thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Johnny and Dorothy and Rhoda. You may be seated, please. Take your Bibles tonight and go to Galatians, please, chapter 2. I'd like to share from the Word of God with you tonight on the subject of victorious living. As a Christian believer, your believing dare not be based on gold. It has to be based on God. They say that man's best friend is his dog. Man just got it backward. Like man always does. No born again one conquered the adversary. It was Christ Jesus who conquered the adversary for every believer. And we were completely identified with Christ in his complete work. In Galatians 2:20, it says, I was crucified. That's the text. I was crucified with Christ. So when Christ died, we died with him. The believer, the one who is to be a believer, the one whom God knew from before the foundations of the world, would believe the word when they heard it. For that individual, when Christ was crucified, that individual went with him. I was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I what? Live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth what? In me. Christ liveth in me. Ladies and gentlemen, if that is true, this has to be a victorious living reality. Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, in the senses category, in this world, the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and who gave himself what? For me. Isn't that fantastic? You see, the adversary, he is the keeper of the prison house of death. But our God blew the doors off in the resurrection. That's right. In Romans chapter 4, talking about Abraham who is the father of all believers, the Word of God says. Verse 20 of chapter 4. He, Abraham, staggered not at the promise of what? Through unbelief. But was strong in believing, is the text. Strong in believing, giving glory to God. In verse 21, he was fully persuaded. Fully persuaded. No doubt left in his mind. Fully persuaded that what he, God, had promised him, he, God, was also able to do what? Perform. And therefore, because Abraham didn't stagger at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in believing, therefore, it was set to his account, accounted, imputed, means accounted. It's like somebody going to the bank and putting money in the bank for you, set to your account. That's this word. It was accounted to Abraham for righteousness. His believing was accounted to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was accounted unto him, verse 24, but for us, the born-again believers, the body of Christ also, to whom it shall be accounted, set to our account. If we do one thing, what? Believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. You see, the adversary being the keeper of the prison house of death, the only one that ever got up from the dead so far was the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why I said, in the resurrection, God just blew the doors off of that prison house that the adversary thinks he had everybody locked up in. God raised Jesus, our Lord, from the what? Verse 25. Who was delivered to death. Jesus Christ delivered to death. The adversary took the advantage and had him killed. He was delivered for our offenses, our sins, but was raised again when we were justified. Boy, oh boy. Tremendous truth. Jesus Christ laid down his life because of our sin. The adversary really socked it to him. And he stayed dead until everything was completely covered. Everything was completely fulfilled. That's why 3 days and three nights was a legal requirement. Christ was the end of the law, the fulfillment of it. And he stayed dead. But he was raised again when we were justified, when it was completely paid for in all the requirements of God. Jesus Christ paid for, then God raised him from the dead. Therefore, because of that, therefore, being justified by believing what Jesus Christ did, by believing, stagger not at the promise of God, fully persuaded. Therefore, being justified by believing, we have what? The whole world's in a turmoil. Everybody crying about peace. Nobody's got any except the believer. Because you can't have peace, people, without the Prince of Peace. The Word says we're justified and we have peace. Well, if you've got it, you don't have to pray about it. If you've got it, you don't have to pray about it. If you've got shoes on your feet, you don't have to pray for a pair. You got one. Justified, we have peace. We've got it. We've got it. Peace with God. God is not angry at us. God is not running around looking to beat us over the head, to line us up with his will or something. That's not our God. Maybe somebody else's, but it's not the God of the truth of the word. Our God is a God who has justified, who has given us peace. And that is through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom, our Lord Jesus Christ, we have access. We have access into this grace, divine favor, perpendicular God to man. We have access into this grace of God, wherein we do one thing, stand. We don't sit down. We don't lie down. We don't mope about it. Into this grace we stand. If the people want to get saved by good works, that's their privilege. We have nothing to do with that. That's their business. We just know that we're saved by grace, and that's where we stand. And not only do we stand, but we rejoice. And the only reason we can rejoice in a world like in which we are living is because of the hope. That's the last part of that verse. Rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Abraham looked forward to the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was his hope. You and I have experienced the first coming and the reality of Christ in us, the hope of glory. We look for the second coming. And in the time we are living here, standing in that grace, and the household as one body, we stand looking for the hope. Well, look at Colossians. Chapter 2, bless your heart. Some more of this wonderful word on along this line. Chapter 2. Verse 10. You are what? Complete in him. You're complete in him. Who is the head of? The word of is the word over. Who is the head? Jesus Christ is the head over all principality and what? Look at verse 15. Having spoiled. The word spoiled is put off from himself. Principalities and powers. He, Jesus Christ, made a show of them openly. He made an exhibition of them. Because God raised him from the dead, triumphing over them in it. In chapter 3, look at verse 1. We died with him, we rose with him. If ye then, being risen with Christ, seek those things which are where? Above. Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of whom? Set your affection on things above, not on things on the what? For you are what? Dead. And your life is hid. Your life is hidden. Your life is hidden. It's already hid with Christ in God. Boy, that's victorious living. Look at Hebrews, very familiar verse 2, chapter 2, verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he, Jesus Christ, also himself likewise took part. He didn't partake, he only took a part. The part he took was of the flesh of Mary. The soul life within him was by the creation of God. Likewise took part of the same, that he, Jesus Christ, through death, his own death, he might destroy The word destroy in Rotherham's translation is paralyze. Paralyze the death-dealing power of Satan, that he might destroy him, holding the power of death, the death-dealing power of Satan. The power of death, that is who? The devil. Just beautiful. Paralyzed him. We know he's not completely out of commission. We see him in high gear in operation. The battle for us people has been won. It has been fought for us by Jesus Christ. There is no battle for you to fight but the battle of your own mind. Believing. That's the battle for you. You and I must fight the adversary with words. Words that are believed. None of the prophets, Old Testament, none of the prophets of God or men of God throughout the entire Old Testament or Jesus Christ himself spoke or believed the Word of God more than you if you use His Word. The Word of God is as efficacious, as powerful on the lips of believers today as it was the first time the Word was ever given. And the Word of God believed on your lips carries the same weight, the same power as it did on the lips of Jesus Christ. Same God, same Word of God. In Genesis, it says that in the beginning God created, then it goes on and it said, and God said, I forget how many times that's used in the first chapter, innumerable times. God said, God said. See, God created by His Word. He spoke it into being. He just spoke it into being. After the day of Pentecost, you can trace this now through the Old Testament time, but my mind flips to Pentecost. Peter, some short time after the day of Pentecost, ministered to a man seated at the beautiful gate of the temple. He didn't lay hands on him. He didn't anoint him with oil. He simply spoke the word to him. And he said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and what? Walk. Laying on of hands, anointing with oil, is for those who have not been completely initiated into the mystery, so to speak. It is for those who are pledges, not for the full fraternity of God's children. Paul delivered men and women by just speaking the word. You and I live victoriously or will live defeated by words. You bless and you can comfort people with words. You can bring deliverance to people with words. In Isaiah 53, look at verse 4. Surely he hath borne our griefs. The word griefs in the text is sickness. He has borne our sickness. Would be nice if sometime you worked on things he did those two words. He did. He bore our sicknesses. He did. Now he's either lying or he's telling the truth. These are words. We were talking a little bit this morning about that one of the heart-rending things in my ministry and life has been that people just don't get around to believing God's word. It's just unbelievable, they don't. Blows my heart, my mind. Look, you go to the grocery store, you look on the label of a can, you'll believe it. People watch TV, they believe that. Read a newspaper and believe it. That thing just cuts me inside. The Bible says every man's a liar, but the word of God is truth. We'll believe what that man writes on a can or on a piece of paper or puts on a loaf of bread. But we will not believe God and his word. Somebody's got us duped good and proper. Sorry, but that's truth. I'm telling you all know it. The fellow sends you a bank report, you believe it. Why not get to the place where you just believe God's word? If it never comes to pass, it's still God's word. The reason it never comes to pass is because nobody gets around to passing enough believing around. It is God's word. And down through the centuries, when men believed God's word, the results came. It maybe took Abraham till he was 99, baby, but I want to tell you something. God's word did not fail. He tried to help God along a little bit. That didn't work. Even Sarah tried it, didn't work. Never works. The only thing that ever works is just literally believing the word. Isaiah said, surely he hath borne our sicknesses. Psalm 107:20. God sent his what?
Word.
And what? Healed them. God sent his what?
Word.
Now he sent that word, sir, through the prophets. Then it was in writing, written form. Then he finally sent his word through his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, who is the Word of God. He is the living reality, God's Son, the Word. That's why Jesus Christ is the Word. God sent his Word and healed them. Jesus Christ is that Word. But tonight, today, it is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Where is the Word? In you. And he sent his Word to what? Therefore, wherever you go, wherever you walk, wherever you speak, if you speak God's word, it's a victorious life, victorious living, for you are that word in living reality. Philippians 4:19. My God, yours too, my God shall do what? All. My God shall do what? All. Your what? According to his riches in glory through whom? That's right. My God shall supply all your need. That's victorious living. That's why I said when I opened tonight, our believing is not based upon gold. Our believing is based on God and His Word. God will supply our need, not the government. Our God supplies need. But we've all been taught through the years, you have to have others do this. You've got to renew your mind to believing and get fully persuaded that it is God who supplies need. And He does this according to His riches in glory through Christ Jesus. 3 John, verse 2. Beloved, I what? I desire above all things the wishes, the word desire. Beloved, I desire above what? All things. Well, if He desires it above all things, what's He desire above all things? What He desires above all things. Right? But it's His Word. People, you got to get to believing that Word. I desire above all things that you may prosper. God never made a beggar. God never made a poor person. Someplace, I think the Old Testament, it says that of God's people, you never saw one begging bread. Where is that? Psalm what? Good. Let's read it. I got to read it again. Psalm 37. I'm glad you're here. Help me find these things. 37 what, you said? Nice. It says in verse 4 of Psalm 37, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of what? Verse 5, commit yourself. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust in Him, and He's going to do what? Then 25, whatever. Oh. I've been young and now I'm old. Yeah, great. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed. Doing what? Beloved, I wish above all thou mayest what? Right. That's God's will. God's desire. That's God's word. And you have to believe words. I've said this time and time again, so I say it again. Whenever there is an unbeliever, a God rejecter, a Bible unbeliever who just doesn't believe there's God in heaven, much less care, and he is more prosperous, more successful than the Christian businessman, there's something wrong someplace, and it can't be with God. Our God's in favor of his men and women prospering. The devil's in favor of you not prospering. Whichever way you believe God's word determines the election. I wish above all that thou mayest what? And be what? Now that doesn't mean we sit down here and say, oh Lord, send me a million. No, you go to work. You use every strength, every ounce of your being, every fiber of your being to do your utmost. Likewise with health. You don't go out here and load yourself up on a fifth of whiskey and say, Lord, I don't want to get drunk or something. You're stupid and a dead jackass to do that kind of stuff. See, no, that's stupidity. Our God isn't stupid. Says in the Word, if you don't work, you don't eat. All that stuff, you know. But it is His will that the Christian believer prosper. It is His will that that believer be in health. You know, the kingdoms of this world and the unbelievers are the adversaries. They're his. But not the believers. He has no right to put his dukes on the believer. Absolutely none. Matthew 4. Bless you. Matthew 4. Jesus Christ had an opportunity with him. Look at 4. The devil taketh him. I'm in verse 8. Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, up into an exceeding high mountain. And the adversary, the devil, showed unto him, Jesus Christ, all the kingdoms of the what? And the glory of them. And saith unto him, verse 9, all these things will I give thee. Now before we read the rest, let's settle one great truth. Can you give anything if you haven't got it? Should say not. There are other records in the Word to show that the adversary, the kingdoms of this world, belong to him. But you can't give anything if you haven't got it. And he took Jesus Christ up there and he just showed him all the kingdoms of the world and all the glory with it, all the power. You know, everything goes with it. You get in the blue bloodline or whatever that. You get invited to the right parties. You have a great coming out party for your daughter. Or so. You're just with the right people, trained in the right schools, having the right degrees. Showed him all of this, all the glory of it. God's only begotten Son. Boy, as I read this, I get chills going up and down my spine because of a scripture. Jesus Christ tempted in all things like as we are, yet without what? He's never shown me all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them and said, I'll give them to you. But he did it to Jesus Christ. For most people, he doesn't have to even show them a half a kingdom. He gives them one square block in town and they sell out to him. He said, all of this I'll give you. But there's just one little trick to this. Just one little commitment. All you have to do. Just fall down and worship me. I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world, all the glory of them, if you will but fall down, which simply means do reverence to him. Bow down to him and worship him. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2, verse 3. Not only the kingdoms of this world, but the unbelievers, watch it, among whom also we all had our our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desire, verse 3, of the flesh and of the mind. And by natural birth, a man of body and soul, by nature is a child of whom? That's to be a child of death. They're his property by nature, because you know that a man of body and soul is dead in trespass and sin, without God and without hope, has no eternal life, no spirit, right? That's why the unbeliever, the natural man, belongs to the adversary. He can whop him when he wants to, bless him when he wants to. He belongs to him. Look at Colossians chapter 1. Verse 13, however, talking about God in Jesus Christ, who hath delivered us from the power of what? Darkness. Power of darkness. And has translated or given us citizenship in his kingdom by the work of his dear Son. God has delivered us. by nature children of what? But when we got born again with Christ in us, the hope of glory, we got out of his realm, out of his territory, out of his jurisdiction. God delivered us. He delivered us. The translation that many of you have seen, I think it may be in the PFAL class, I'm not sure. It's someplace. God rescued us out from the exercised or operative influences of darkness and separated us, bringing us as citizens into his kingdom by his dear Son. That's verse 13. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 20. For you're bought with a what? Price. God delivered us. We're bought with a price. It cost God his only begotten Son. Remember? For God so loved that God gave his only begotten Son. We are bought with a price. Paid for. Completely justified. Remember? Raised. When it was all over. Then what right, sir, has the adversary got on any of God's property? That's right. Bought with a what? Look at 7:20. It's 23. You're bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. Means don't be a slave to the senses world or to men. You're bought with a price. God's only begotten Son bought with a price. Romans 8:37. If God be what? Who can be what? That's right. If God be for us, who can then what? Right. Our struggle for victorious living, people, is with defeated principalities and powers. That's spiritual powers. Defeated principalities and spiritual powers. Ephesians 6:12. For we wrestle not against what? But against what? Principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness from on high. So our struggle as believers, our fight, if you want to call it that, our living for a victorious living is with defeated principalities and spiritual powers. Well, why do I ever want to mess with them? They're already defeated. The adversary knows. He absolutely knows. He is whipped and defeated. But, you know something? He doesn't want you to know it. He knows it. God raised him from the dead, blew his doors open. He knows it. But the adversary does not want you to know it, that he knows it. He wants to keep the born-again believer ignorant and to keep him ignorant. All he has to do is keep him from the Word. For the Word of God is the will of God. You cannot know the will of God without knowing the Word of God. Keep you from the Word and get you to believe everything else. Get you to believe what people say about the Word. The advertisement on the cans, remember? Get you to believe everything except the Word. Keep people from the Word, but keep you believing that you know it. That you know the Word. Man, what a tricky bird he is. He knows he's defeated. And he's done such an admirable job defeating the believer, because he has walked around like a roaring lion and people freaked on him. That old boy has no teeth in his mouth left. He's defeated in Christ Jesus for the believer. If he wants to bite someone, let him bite his own. He has no right. You've been bought with a price, class. Paid for in full. Not of your works, but of God's grace, wherein we what? That's right. Boy, oh boy. Look at Ephesians. Chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord, who hath, not going to us already, blessed us with every spiritual blessing. All spiritual blessings. In whom? Ladies and gentlemen, are we blessed? Oh, God, we're blessed. We're bought with a price. We're blessed. According as He, God, hath chosen us. I didn't choose Him. He chose me. He called us. He chose us. If you were the daughter or the son of the governor of your state or the province or whatever you got up there in Canada, prime minister or something, if you were the son or daughter, do you think maybe you could get into his office occasionally? And do you think maybe you would have some things? I do too. Hey, God chose us. And most Christians walk around worse than whipped dogs. They live in condemnation and everything else. I think the PFAL class gets him an umbrella or something with holes in it. Sends him as the ambassador to Great Britain. God chose us. Man, if that doesn't do something for you someday, you're never going to make it. God chose us. Boy, when you have a basketball team, the coach chooses the first five that open. God chose us. He chose us. We're playing first string, people. We're not second-rate Christians. It's only one category. First. Let the rest of the unbelievers play second, third, quadruple something, nothing. We play first. We walk with the greatness of the power of God. His Word chose us before the foundation of the world. He's smart God in His foreknowledge. Verse 6 says, to the praise of His glory. To the praise of His glory. Of the glory of His grace. Wherein, in which He hath made us acceptable. He made us acceptable. He made us. The word is lovely for you girls. He made us acceptable. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if God made us acceptable, why do you walk around and say, oh, I ain't no good. I don't amount to any. Wait a minute. You're a liar. For He made you what? Well, act like it. There is therefore, after He made you lovely, all kind of condemnation. No. There is therefore what?
No.
Walk with the greatness of God's Word. That's victorious living. Everything else is living below par and being a liar. For you are what the Word of God says you are. You have what the Word of God says you have. You'll be what it says. It's His Word. I'd rather believe that than what I read on a stupid beer bottle. You know, fire brewed. Must have got it from Hades or something. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Really something. Verse 7. In whom we have redemption through His what? Right. Through his blood, not mine. I didn't strive under blood against sin. He did. Through his blood, his sacrifice, his substitution for us. We have the forgiveness is the word remission. We got remission of sins according to the riches of his what? Wherein we what? Stand. Wherein? Verse 8. Riches of his grace, he hath abounded, not just trickled, but abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. The word prudence is good sense. Having made known, verse 9, unto us the mystery of his what? Right. Isn't that fantastic? Remember, if God be what? Who can what? People, our worst enemy is not a foreign nation. It is our own nation. Our own selves within a nation. It's the truth of God's word that is foreign in our nation. Today there's an atmosphere and an aroma of defeat permeating your nation in Canada like ours in the United States. Well, ask yourself a question. Has God gone out of business? Has he changed his ability or his desire? Is his word no longer his will? Like to just have you take your mind for a moment, go back in history and think a little bit. Look at the heathen world that 12 men faced after the day of Pentecost. And how they took that heathen world. And when you look at it, you look at the intellectual skepticism of the Roman Empire. You look at the great political and military power of Rome. 12 men who dared to start to believe God. They turned the world upside down. They changed nations. They carved out new nations. They won, sir. They won. We too can still win. For our God has not changed. His ability has not waned. His word is still his what? That's right. But you got to stand up and get committed, counted. You got to take a stand. Stand up, get counted. See? You got to take your place as a born again believer. And shout the truth of the greatness of God's word. As I said, we are what the word of God says we are. We have what the word of God says we have. We can do what the word of God says we can do. For we are his. Why? Because he is ours. He chose us. People, this is victorious living. You and I just have to meet every circumstance as conquerors. Even before you start in it, you meet it as a conqueror. For in all situations, we are more than what? Isaiah, I think it was, who said, Joshua, isn't it? Fear thou not, for I am what? With thee. Whithersoever thou goest, I will go. Our God, his wonderful Son, Jesus Christ, is with us. He is with the believers. That's why we live above the circumstances of the world because we live in Him. They tell me this mountaintop checkbook's no longer available, no longer in print or something. So those of you who have one, better hang on to it. Use it. Do something. Years ago, I had this done. It's done in a regular, neat little outfit, regular checkbook cover and everything. There are 10 blank checks that God gives in His Word. They're all in here. But what I want to read to you tonight, I've written in the back page here. This is my name here at the top, Victor Paul Rewill, in account with the Bank of God. How wonderful it would be for you when you, with your conscious and subconscious mind, respect the promises of God with the same fervency as mankind honors the names and checks of men. Think for a moment of the possibilities, the miracles that will come to pass when you consciously and subconsciously begin to honor and respect the name of the Father here upon earth as it is hallowed in heaven. Our Heavenly Father has left us numerous definite checks for definite needs. Furthermore, in His infinite wisdom and foresight, He left us 10 blank checks, 7 of which we may write in whatsoever we need, and 3 we may fill in with anything. Gilt-edged securities issued by the most financially sound corporation in the whole world are not as sound as the promises of God. Wall Street effectuates fluctuations in the value of your money in the bank, but the promises of God have suffered no fluctuation in any way whatsoever. The resources in the vault of the great Bank of God are not only unlimited and infinite, but the same always, for neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, nor thieves break through and steal. A remarkable privilege is yours in that you may reuse the blank checks over and over again with a new set of requests and desires. The more these checks are used, the more powerful and meaningful they become. Thus I invite you, by faith, by believing, to step up to the cashier's window of God's love and bravely countersign His promises, saying, Father, I believe Thy promise. And on the back page, the last page, is this little old poem, God's Bank Ain't Busted Yet. The bank had closed. My earthly store had vanished from my hand. I felt that there was no sadder one than I in all the land. I should have told you that this poem was written after the Depression in the United States, and I picked it up someplace along the line. I forget all the history of it, but this is the background of it. My washerwoman, too, had lost her little mite with mine, and she was singing as she hung the clothes upon the line. How can you be so gay? That was proper usage in that day. I asked, your loss, don't you regret? Yes, ma'am. Well, what's the use to fret? God's bank ain't busted yet. I felt my burden lighter grow. Her faith I seemed to share. In prayer I went to God's great throne and laid my troubles there. The sun burst from behind the clouds in golden splendor set. I thank God for her simple words. God's bank ain't busted yet. And now I draw rich dividends, more than my hands can hold, of faith and love and hope and trust and peace of mind untold. I thank the giver of it all, but still I can't forget my washerwoman's simple words, God's bank ain't busted yet. O weary ones upon life's road, when everything seems drear, and losses loom on every hand, and skies seem not too clear, throw back your shoulders, lift your head, and cease to chafe and fret. Your dividends will be declared. God's bank ain't busted yet. We just have to get out there and stand up and get counted. God's bank isn't busted. His word is his will, people. That's victorious living. And it's made for every believer. Okay? Okay. Thank you, Father, for your love and grace and mercy and your goodness. Thank you for the great reality of your word. And Father, that word's a living reality. And we sure want to believe your word a lot more than we ever want to believe the words of men. So I thank you for giving us a defeated adversary. And that in the midst of all trials, tribulations, temptations, everything else, Father, and the whole mess of the world, we can stand more than conquerors, declaring boldly the ineffable greatness of your love and grace. Thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless.